Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're going to be talking about tonight the races, the candidates, and our predictions. Tonight, we're looking at the Tarrant County DA's race, the Tarrant County judge's race, as well as the Justice of the Peace Precinct 8 race. And y'all, I know this is going to be an interesting show, and I can always tell because when some really weird things happen, that's when I know I'm pissing somebody off. My cell phone bill was paid, y'all, and 5 minutes before logging into the show, it said that I had to pay again. It even said the bill was paid until March 16th, but still I had to pay again in order to use this phone just 5 minutes before the show, and I've been on the phone all day today, but it is what it is, so I'm not going to concern myself too much with it. I'm going to go to my panelists tonight. I don't know if I see Tolinghazi on the line. Tolinghazi, if you are, raise your hand because I can't see you. I think Tolinghazi is going to be coming in a little late tonight, I think about 7 weeks or so. That's it tonight, y'all. Good evening, Pastor Chris. Good evening, Adrian. How are you?
Good evening, Carrie. Good evening, Pastor Chris.
Good evening, Sam.
Oh, good evening, y'all. Listen, y'all, we're going to start off with this DA's race. The Tarrant County DA's race, y'all know, has always been a controversial race, if you will. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the office itself and what it does, the current person in that office, and just a little bit about what the salary is. The Tarrant County DA analyzes and gathers evidence to determine if there is grounds for criminal prosecution of cases within their district and presents cases at trial. We know the current person seated in that office is Sharon Wilson. She's the outgoing DA. Wilson assumed office in 2015. Sharon Wilson ran against Albert Roberts in 2018, where Roberts got 46.7% of the vote, and Wilson got 53.3% of the vote. That's close, y'all. The DA, I understand, makes well over $200,000 a year. Wilson currently has been under fire for the handling of cases like Aaron Dean. We've seen constant postponement of that particular trial, all types of weird requests for Mr. Dean that is not something that you typically see in cases. And if you're not familiar with who Aaron Dean is, Aaron Dean is the Fort Worth police officer that shot and killed Tatiana Jefferson on October 12th, I believe, 2019. And she's also under fire for the Amari Boone case. If you're not familiar with Amari Boone is a three-year-old that was killed by his two caregivers when he was in Child Protective Services under their watch. And she's also under fire for the South Lake School Board issue. So there's a lot going on with Ms. Wilson, and there may be reasons why she's stepping down. What we know about that race is there's a lot of people in it. We got Tiffany Burks, who's a Democrat. We got Albert John Roberts, who's a Democrat. Lawrence Larry Myers, who's a Democrat. Matt Krause, Phil Soros, and Molly Westfall are all Republicans. Albert Roberts, we know, is a lawyer, husband, and a father. His platform says, I will work to build an equitable justice system, ensure that each person who comes into contact with the system is treated with fairness and humanity and holds everyone accountable for their actions. Tiffany Burks, 20 years as a prosecutor, resigned as deputy chief of the criminal division of the Tarrant County Criminal DA's office. Y'all, I know this is a lot of reading. And she's also white. Her platform, she is running for district attorney to restore the public service commitment of the DA's office and to rebuild the community's trust in the criminal justice. Those are the only two we're spotlighting tonight, because there was just way too many things going on tonight to try to get everybody in. So we're just going to talk about those two tonight. What are you all thoughts on this race? Pastor Chris, you got Albert Roberts and Tiffany Hamilton Burks in this primary election for the DA's office. What are your thoughts?
I don't know Ms. Burks. But I'm pretty familiar with Brother Albert, and you know, I'll just talk about him because I don't want to, you know, talk about Ms. Burks if I don't really know a lot about him. But Albert is a fine young gentleman. He really has justice and honesty at heart. I think he's a member of the L. Clifford Davis Legal Association. You know, I just know him to be a quality person.
Gotcha. Adrian, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so I recall Mr. Roberts, his last run he got himself involved in. Like you stated, the numbers, he did pretty well, but you know, of course, the incumbent held on to the position. I feel like he might have a better shot. Now, I've heard of Tiffany Burke's name before. Her name is, Her name is known throughout the city. You know, she does have a name or reputation or whatever. But Mr. Roberts, I believe, like, he might have a better shot because of his last run. But again, like you stated. Also, you have other people from the other political parties that are in the race, and we know how when big money gets to spending, you know, spending the push for creating a narrative or talking points or the most what has become most effective is fear mongering. We know how that'll play in, so they could easily say, "Hey, we don't, you know." Basically, and I'm gonna go on a record because I just thought I need to go on record and let it be known. I'm an independent. I'm not either. I don't align myself with either political party. I think I've just come to my senses on that part. But I say this because I don't. Well, you know, when you're talking, people try to say, "Well, you're talking from a," you know. So I'm gonna let everyone know I'm an independent. So I think if they put their money, if their money machine gets to spending, they can create a narrative that a Democratic DA is going to push possibly for defunding or push for, you know, things that go against, you know, they might seem like it's against policing when it's not the case, because, you know, nowadays people don't think with their own mind. They think with whatever's being presented in front of them. Think about think about John Cruzo's over in Dallas, what he just done. He just said that here recently he's gonna leave the grand jury that they give for he's gonna keep his office out of it. He's gonna let the jurors make their own decision based on what they need to do without the DA's office having an input on the, you know, when the police get caught in those situations. But that's what you call those. So that if big money gets to spending, we're gonna have an issue.
I feel you. Mr. Trolling Kaji has joined the conversation. Good evening, Thomas.
Hi, how are y'all?
Fine,
hey.
How are you?
Great.
What are your thoughts on the DA?
Well, it is really complicated. I mean, you can simplify it or you can be realistic and see how complicated it is, because it's kind of a two-step process, right? I mean, you got the primary and you got the general election. And so when you're trying to decide who to vote for in the primary, you look at who your choices are, both the Republicans and the Democrats. And then you have to say, all right, well, who do I like? And now who can win, more likely to win in November? Here's the tough thing. The Republicans have three or four folks. The most moderate one is still pretty right-wing. That's Molly Westphal.
Okay.
And here's my point is, I think that Molly Westphal is about equivalent with Sharon Wilson.
Oh, wow.
The other choices are more over-the-top right-wing politically. So that's what honestly, whether Albert wins the Democratic nomination or Tiffany does, in one sense, it's all in. If one of the crazy right-wingers win the nomination for Republican, but if you're worried that we're Westphal. However, I think that even though Albert's had a repetition already, Tiffany Hamilton Burks is much more qualified in the area that she has lots of experience in. So here's her two pluses, I say. And that's not, I'm not knocking Albert. I mean, he has experience in a bunch of areas, and we like him. But Tiffany's worked in the DA's office and kind of butted heads with Sharon Wilson the whole time, because she was already there in experience when she got there. The vast majority of her experience is in criminal prosecution. However, the second plus I think she has is she can relate to all the other staff that work in the other divisions, like white collar or whatever. And so she can really step in and hit a realistic feel for who's the strongest, like assistant district attorneys or specialists. So I think those are both pluses. And I also think that in November, most of the Republican nominees will be right-wing in all the categories. So simultaneously, there are four very strong black women running for judge seats. Two of which are in the county court of law, criminal court of law. And so running them as a slate has some definite marketing value. And I agree with the last gentleman, I think his name is Adrian, that there's a danger that the other side or the Republicans can mess it.
Your phone is going in and out. Did we lose it?
They're not going to stick the label.
You're going in and out.
I'm sorry. I don't know if that's signal or what. I mean, if it's
that's
not
better.
Working, I might need to.
That's better.
Any better?
That's better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I don't think people are going to successfully label Burks as a defund the police type. She's got 20-something years as a criminal prosecutor. But I do think that she's real sensitive to moderating low-level offenses and decriminalizing marijuana-related offenses and nonviolent ones, just general nonviolent offenses, just to be practical to people and also to be frugal. She's not going to send everybody to jail. That won't be her mentality. So that's what I think. I mean, I think she's a little stronger than Albert, but I also think it's going to be hard to characterize her as being anti-police.
Okay. Well, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all what I think. As far as Tiffany Hamilton Burks is concerned, I would be very interested in knowing what cases she has prosecuted and what were the outcomes. We know that she was working on the Aaron Dean case. Why did she exit the case 2 months before it was due to go to trial? I think everybody in this county, probably in the country, knows how important this particular case is. So I got some questions as to why did she get on a case of her on that particular case if she knew that she had ambitions to run for higher office? Why did she take it all the way to the 2 month point and then drop off just 2 months before trial? And did she prepare her replacement before leaving? Those are just some of the things I have questions about. And is she someone who will prosecute a former police officer for murder? So do we know that she is someone that will be able to, if needed, prosecute a former police officer in the future if that officer is someone who does what an Aaron Dean did. As far as Albert Roberts is concerned, I think he's such a nice guy, you know, or seems like such a nice guy. I just really want to know that he's not somebody that they can scare. I want to believe that he can get in there. I believe he can do the job, but I just don't want to feel that he will not be intimidated once he gets in there. And again, will he prosecute for a police officer if he has to, if that police officer has committed murder? My thoughts on this particular case, just judging from the fact that he ran against Sharon Wilson and he got 46.7% of the vote in another race, I think he could possibly pull it off. So those are my thoughts on that particular race. That's just my thoughts, y'all. So, you know, I'm just concerned that Ms. Wilson, you know, got off the Aaron Dean case 2 months before trial. That just really bothers me. And, you know, she's mentioned that she's prosecuted a lot of cases that we may be familiar with. I heard her say that on another forum. So we would just like to know what those cases were and what the outcome was. So there you have it, y'all. Next, y'all, we're going to talk about the Sierra County DA's race. Listen, very interesting stuff, y'all. Don't know where it's headed, but we're going to talk about it. And I don't know, I think I was supposed to hear from Albert Roberts tonight. If he's on the phone line, he needs to let me know before we move on. And I don't see him, so I don't know where. I think let me see here. 817-602. Is that you, Mr. Roberts? 817-602? Is that not Albert Roberts? Okay, I'm gonna close that phone line.
Oh, that's Marvin Sutton.
Oh, that's Marvin Sutton. Okay. I'm going to close you because we're going to come to your race in just a second. Okay. I was hoping to hear from Mr. Roberts, but if not, it is what it is. We talked just briefly before we went on air, and I don't see him on the line, so we're moving on. We're going to talk about the Tarrant County judges race, y'all. Very interesting stuff. We know currently Judge Whitley is the outgoing Tarrant County judge. He's retiring. He has held office since 2007. He's been in office 15 years, and that equals four terms. That job pays $198,000 a year plus a $5,500 bonus and a $15,000 per diem allowance for gas, travel, and phone usage. Did you say something, Thomas?
I just laughed.
Okay.
I just laughed at the bonus part.
Okay. But y'all, let me tell you what we know about this position. The Tarrant County Judge is the chief elected officer and presides over the Tarrant County Commissioner's Court. The office oversees nearly 2 million residents as well as provides leadership on issues related to policy and county services for the 15th largest county in the U.S. The Tarrant County Judge will have to be a leader on a wide range of issues, including transportation, efficient government, sustainable communities, higher education, youth and children's issues, and support for veterans and military families. The judge also serves as the head of emergency management for the county. They set the tax rates and adopt the county budget. The commissioner's court appoints county officials and hires personnel. They fill elective and appointive vacancies. They establish voting precincts, appoint precinct judges, and call county bond elections. They authorize the payments of all county bills. They build and maintain county roads and bridges. They build and maintain and improve county facilities, including jails. They provide hospital, public welfare, and veterans assistance, manage all county facilities, and provide for data services and archival needs of the county. Okay, y'all, that's just what they do. Now, let's talk about the candidate. Let's start with Mr. Sutton, who's on the line, and we're going to talk to him in just a second. He's a Democrat, y'all. U.S. Air Force veteran, retired air traffic controller, former Arlington City Councilman, husband, father, family man. His platform, he says, I'm running as a champion for the people to improve the quality of life throughout the county while keeping taxes low and delivering first-class services. In an unprecedented time of division and uncertainty, our communities deserve a leader that listens, brings people together, and works collaboratively to find solutions. That's Marvin Sutton. Deborah Peoples, she's a Democrat, retired AT&T, former Democratic chairperson, mother. Her platform, she says, mother, business executive, and progressive trailblazer working to bring Tarrant County together and become a leader that represents all the people. That's Deborah Peoples. Betsy Price, she's a Republican. Y'all know, everybody knows Betsy Price, former business owner, former tax assessor from 2001 to 2011, former Fort Worth mayor from 2011 to 2021. Her platform, as the next Tarrant County judge, I will continue my conservative legacy and develop innovative solutions that protect taxpayers, makes neighborhoods safe, and grows our economy with quality jobs. Trevor Booker, he's a former corrections. His platform is responsibility, transparency, election integrity. Okay, we're going to talk about Tim O'Hare and Mr. Brian Bradford, and we're moving on. Tim O'Hare, Republican. He's a lawyer, former city councilman for Farmers Branch, former mayor for Farmers Branch from 2008 to 2011, former chair for the Tarrant County Republican Party. Platform, as the next county judge, I will work tirelessly to ensure your county government is fair, transparent, and accountable. With well over two decades of business management and leadership experience, I know what it takes to run an operation that is efficient, successful, and fiscally responsible. I won't back down in tough situations, and I will always put our Tarrant County taxpayers first. Last but not least, Byron Bradford. And I offer Mr. Bradford the opportunity to call in tonight as well. Retired U.S. Army. He is with currently B-12 Management Group, LLC, from 2018 to present. He, I understand, is the chief executive officer there. He's a husband and father. His platform, transparency, open and honest communications with the public, economic workforce development, lower taxes, safer communities. And he said, as the next Tarrant County judge, I will continue to work with North Central Texas Council of Governments and its partners to ensure the transportation system provides residents reliability and mobility as the population grows. All right, y'all. Listen, that's what we're looking at for the Tarrant County judge. Thomas, what are your thoughts about the Tarrant County judge?
Well, I was already leaning towards Marvin Sutton. I'm pretty familiar with Deborah Peoples. On that side of the primary, one thing that you didn't mention, because Marvin has lots of credentials, is on top of all the things you listed, he's a CPA. So, and he's, because he's been on the city council in Arlington and done other governmental stuff, he understands a whole lot of the budget stuff and tax policy.
Mm-hmm.
Besides his position on social issues and transportation, I think literally if you took all of the candidates' resumes and forgot what party they were in, it'd be pretty obvious to pick Marvin Sutton. I mean, that might sound like an endorsement, but I do think he's the strongest person on paper and in terms of life experience. Most of the Republicans, I mean, Tim O'Hare is openly and often blatantly dog-whistling racist, sexist tropes. I mean, he's as right-wing and the former county chair as you can get. And if I'm not mistaken, he is the individual who basically her in to Sharon Wilson for prosecution.
Can you repeat that? She went in and out.
No. Tim O'Hare, I believe, is the individual who turned in Crystal Mason, basically set her up to vote, and then turned her in to the DA so that she got that over-the-top prosecution. And he did it as an opportunist to, you know, pander to the extreme right on voter fraud and stuff. Let's hope. I mean, Ms. Of the Republicans, although Trevor Bucher, who doesn't have enough experience, I like him personally, he's a breath of fresh air. And ironically, he doesn't realize it, but he's actually progressive, kind of a libertarian version of progressive. You know, he'd tear the place up just by being such a breath of fresh air. I mean, you know, I think he'd be easier to interact with than any of the other Republicans. He's not established. So that's what I know. Let Marv.
Trust me, we're going to get to Mr. Sutton in just a second. Adrian, what are your thoughts on this race?
Well, Kerry, considering you already had two of the candidates on, Mr. Sutton, I mean, I think it was Mr. Trevor as well, right? You had Mr. Trevor on as well, right?
Right.
Yeah, Mr. Trevor had he had a lot of receipts. He had a lot of receipts, you know. I think Mr. Sutton, he spoke well, you know, regarding what he hopes to do and get accomplished in the position as county judge. I truly have a question to ask of him, but I would like to – hold on. I'm sorry. I truly have a question to ask of him, but I will let him, you know, say what he has to say, you know, regarding, you know, we let him on, and then I just let me know when it's good to ask him the question. But, Miss, you know, y'all already know how I feel about Bessie Price. Bessie, your grandchildren need you. Your grandchildren need you. And like I say, and I continue to say, Bessie Price is not doing this for any other reason but for the power that position brings
and the money that it brings. You know what I'm saying? She's not doing it for no other reason. She's not doing it for any other reason. What was said about Tim was said, because, like you said, I don't know much about him. But, you know, I know a lot of these political ads that they're using to attack each other, you know, I try to steer away from negativity. So if you have to use negativity to get your point across, going either direction, you know, then I try to stay away from negativity, keep negativity out of my spirit. So that being said, I think Deborah Peoples, you know, I feel about that. I feel like Deborah is doing this race, this service to the Democratic Party, because she could have used her influence that she's had, not only this past election, but the election before, as running for mayor, and all that came with it, to get behind Mr. Sutton, you know what I'm saying, and give him a greater push. But I found out while watching that interview that they had, that the Star Telegram tried to, you know, stir up something between them, that there is something there between them two, you know. I don't know, you know, how in depth it is, but I think it's something there, some bad blood between Mr. Sutton and Ms. Peoples. But he can more elaborate on that. But I think Ms. Peoples, yeah, she could have stayed out of this race and gave Mr. Sutton a chance to, you know, an even greater chance to win it if they seeking to get a Democrat in that seat. So. And like I say, I'm gonna leave with this thought. We know if this doesn't work for Ms. Peoples, we know what's next for her. There's only one more race that she can run, and you know, we've already just talked about that. So that's how I feel about that. Gary, I don't know, and the other candidate I don't know much about. So that's my spiel, Gary.
Dr. Pastor, your thoughts on this race? Who's gonna win this judges, right?
The judge.
Yes.
You know, I know Deborah Peoples, but I've heard about Mr. Sutton, and it's kind of puts me in a quandary about the candidacy. I kind of like Deborah, but you know, I have a lot of respect for guys who are in the military, you know, because they learn so much, they get a chance to do a lot of other things. And I think it's the best experience for life. But
wow.
it's just hard for me to really say I'd pick one over the other.
Wow. You know, I'm gonna say this before Mr. Sutton speaks. I've been watching this race really close, y'all. I've been doing a lot of research on it. And this is what I believe this race is gonna come down to. I believe Marvin Sutton's going to win this Democratic primary, and I think the Republican primary is probably going to go to Tim O'Hare. I think in the general election, Tim O'Hare won't get any of the black vote. He may get a portion of a Hispanic vote that maybe thinks Trumpster-like, but that won't be enough of it to win, because I think Mr. Sutton will probably carry the black vote. He will carry a portion of the white vote, and I think he'll carry a large percentage of the Hispanic vote, and I think that'll take him over the top to win. But we're going to hear from him and see what he thinks. Good evening, Mr. Sutton. How are you?
Good evening. How are you? Thank you so much for allowing me to speak on the show.
Mm-hmm, no problem. We want to know
what you think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I kind of agree with the sentiments of what's being talked about. I think it's important that we connect with voters. For the longest, we've had so much division and divisiveness in our country, even at the county level. We've got to figure out a way to unite and come up with real solutions, but give stakeholders a seat at the table. You know, as a council member, I learned that government alone can't resolve every issue. And during the pandemic and during the winter storm, we need to rely on faith-based organizations, nonprofits, to make our community whole. And we have to be able to do that in a strategic manner. And we can no longer sit on the sidelines. We need all hands on deck to make our community work so it thrives, it becomes productive. Everybody feel they have a work and a stake in this game we call democracy. Now, as far as a winning strategy, I do agree with you, Curry. I think that we have an opportunity to move in the right direction to unite the county. And for the longest, like I said, we've been divided. And the vision caused degradation in our community. It caused our city to suffer and will definitely lead to a deterioration in the county. And so my goal is to build trust, to unify, to give everybody a shot at the table to weigh in and to move the county forward. That's my hope and goal for the county itself.
Mm-hmm. So you feel pretty good about the race?
I do. I feel like I come with a message that articulates with independents, moderates, mm-hmm. who are valued voters, who want just the basic necessities of life, quality nutrition for their family, transportation to be able to get here and there, housing, affordable housing, a job, an opportunity to decompress, quality air, quality water, just the basic necessities that makes life worth living.
Okay. Adrian, you had a question for Mr. Sutton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And you can. I don't. Hey, you answer how you want to. You ready? You answer. Don't answer. It's cool. I had the same respect. No, I would just throw it out there. Just politics, you know. And I know that, you know, politics is dirty, you know. And sometimes we got to get dirty to make things happen, you know. But I feel like one should be true to themselves, regardless. You know what I'm saying? With the statement I made regarding Ms. Peoples, you know. It's not personal. It's just my observation. Do you feel that it's a possibility that this is going to have an effect on the overall way that the Democrats choose to vote, you know, as far as you getting elected or you possibly getting elected, you know, with her getting in the race, you know? That's my question.
I think we have the same energy that we bring to the party. We're both advocates for everyday working people. I think the difference is that I carry the experience of governing a municipality, and that's important when you get to the county judge seat. People together, you've got to be able to make tough decisions that have a meaningful impact, and over 2.1 million residents. That's important that we do that. And so with many people not having that experience, not having those contacts, and here's what else I bring to the table. A member of a National League of Cities where we all come together and we figure out how to make cities work for the good of our residents. The Texas Municipal League of Cities where the Texas elected officials at the local level come together to make Texas work. Because we represent the lowest level of government. We deliver those resources. You know, at the county level, you don't have a police force. You have a sheriff department. You don't have a fire department. So those things are articulated at the local level. The county level, it helps to have those experiences and understand how those work. Emergency management, to understand how to direct those resources in a way that address those issues. So that's the difference as far as our Democratic credentials. Deborah, as you said earlier, was the former county chair of Tarrant County Democratic Party. Myself, I was the backbone of the Democratic Party at this lowest level where you're knocking on doors for candidates you may have never believed in, have never met. You may have never got a thank you. But every election cycle, you're knocking on doors to generalize, to energize the base and get the votes out. And I've done that for over 20 years. I served as an election judge, ensuring the integrity of the election, no matter which party. I've registered thousands of voters at my own expense. I'm in high schools talking to high school kids about the voting rights, about voting devices and how to operate those voting devices. I served at the state level representing 10 counties, including Tarrant County. I chaired the grassroots committee at the state party level, which out of that came a program called LIFT that was targeted to help municipal candidates get elected. So I've been actively engaged for over 20 years with the party. I've been preparing myself to give back to the community. I'm passionate and committed about public service, but also community service. What do I mean by community service? If I see trash in my community, regardless, I'm going to stop and pick it up. I'm going to stop and help people that are in need. And those are my goals
those are my hopes for our community, to build stronger communities where the elected officials do and really care about what goes on in the county.
Okay. I'm going to run an ad tonight since Mr. Sutton is here. I'm going to run this commercial ad.
I'm a Democratic candidate for the office of Tarrant County Judge. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm an Air Force vet, a former air traffic controller with over 30 years at DFW International Airport. I served 2 years on Arlington City Council in one of the most challenging times in the city's history. Let's elevate Tarrant County where we're able to empower our communities, enhance our service, and improve the quality of life. Visit my website for more information at electmarvinsutton.com. That's electmarvinsutton.com. Early voting is now in progress until February 25th. Election day is March 1st. A vote for Marvin is a vote for empowerment, improvement, and enhancement of our county. Thank you for viewing this video and sharing it. God bless.
All right, now, Pastor Chris, Thomas Tolagazi, do you have a question for Marvin Sutton before we move on?
I don't.
I have one. I have one.
Okay.
Can you hear me on? Yeah, I have a question,
okay.
Carrie.
We can.
There's so many responsibilities, and Mr. Sutton may not know that I go to Commissioner's Court a lot lately. Often I'm there to give all the commissioners, including the county judge, a chance to use their budget discretionary powers to rein in the out-of-control sheriff. You know, our county has 21 jail deaths in the last calendar year, and the block of three Republicans consistently ignore calling that sheriff to task. Lots of counties that are smaller, when the sheriff is, you know, failing jail inspections like the ours is, and there's a number of jail deaths, they do token things that are effective, like not approve frivolous travel, especially during COVID. But so far, the county judge and the other two Republicans, they send Sheriff Wayburn all over the place to, you know, the conventions and shows. The guy's out of the county and on TV more often than not. So there's some really simple measures that the commissioner's court can do. They can fully fund the sheriff's department in the jail, but they can cut like the laundry ticket or the travel, you know, benefits of the sheriff until he stays home and cleans up, you know, the jail. I mean, does Mr. Sutton have some thoughts on that?
Thank you so much for that question. That's important. And so what I will say is the most important tool at local government disposal is the budget. It sets the priorities, the passion, the abilities of how we move the county forward. And that budget is important because the county commissioner's court set the budget for all the county entities. And so we can go in, but let's take a look at what the jail commission does. They go in and take a look at the county jails. And if they're not at the par, they don't have any real teams to come in and take over. I would be in support of the state taking over, just like when a state come in and see a school underperforming or failing, the state takes over that school until we can get it back on track. But, yes, you're absolutely right. We can do some things with the budget. Frivolous travel, we will cut that out because we want to make sure we're spending taxpayer dollars wisely, and that money can be rolled back in a lower tax rate to our taxpayers.
Wow. Well, thank you, Mr. Sutton, for calling in tonight, and good luck with your raise.
Thank you so much. I certainly appreciate the opportunity and access.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that one more time? I'm sorry. I hit the button by mistake. You said you appreciate
thank
what?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity to communicate with your audience. I would appreciate a vote from people who are listening to this radio show tonight. My name is Marvin Sutton. I'm running for the office of Tarrant County Judge. That's the highest leadership position in Tarrant County. I want to be a public servant. I'm still committed and passionate about serving our community as well as our county.
All right. Thank you and good luck with your race. All right,
thank
y'all. I hit him again. God, I'm sorry. Keep hitting the button, y'all. I'm sorry. We also have Albert Roberts on the line this evening. Good evening, Mr. Roberts.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, fantastic. How y'all doing?
Can you speak up just a little bit? We're good.
Doing great, man.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying hello. Good to be with Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell us about your race.
Sure. Well, my name is Albert Roberts, and I'm running for Tarrant County District Attorney. And I appreciate the opportunity to visit with y'all this evening and continue to engage and stay informed in the community. I grew up here in Fort Worth. I graduated from Dunbar High School, went to Prairie View for undergrad, and went to Texas Southern for law school. Worked at the DA's office in both Dallas County and Tarrant County, and now I'm an attorney that's in private practice as a criminal defense lawyer. I'm running for this office to bring reform to the DA, needed reform to the DA's office. My platform is fair, smart, and accountable. We want the same type of justice on the west side of Tarrant County that you get on the east side of Tarrant County. There shouldn't be two different systems of justice. It doesn't matter your skin color, your socioeconomic background, or your race, or your religion, or anything. As far as smart, you know, we want to make sure we're spending tax dollars wisely. We want to prosecute and hold people accountable. At the same token, we can't continue to pack our jail to capacity, do the same old thing. We're not going to arrest our way out of some of these problems. Mental illness, substance abuse, homelessness, poverty. There's people sitting in jail literally because they're poor for no other reason. They're just too poor. They don't have $50. And it costs more than $50 to spend a night in jail. So instead of us letting them out for $50 that they don't have, that we keep them in jail for day on end. And if we're smart about that, we realize it costs more than $50 to house them and feed them for one day. And so what can we do? You know, how can we re-envision that, reimagine the justice system? I think we got a lot of work to do because, again, we've dropped the ball or we've delayed moving justice in this county for too long. And then my last plank is, the accountability platform. And, again, I believe we need to make sure that we hold officials in this town accountable. And I say officials, I mean, accountability starts at the top, but all too often we've seen cases or instances where people, justice wasn't administered fairly, and so accountability is lost in the community, and that trust has really broken down.
Okay. Do y'all have any questions for Alvin?
Well, I have some questions in there. You know, these races often focus on the criminal aspect of the district attorney's office, and of course, thing is there, but there are whole divisions of the DA's office that are civil or are actually support functions. For example, helping all the governmental entities to do better at open public records, more open transparency and accountability, and coaching them on better following the Open Meetings Act. It seems like the current DA or the office is not, the DA doesn't give her office the freedom to improve these in these areas. I mean, it's important, and the lion's share of the budget goes towards criminal prosecution and management of jail and diversion programs. But when we're looking for accountability of some of our cities that are under investigation by the FBI or the Water District, or any of those kinds of things, how does Mr. Roberts see the DA's role in helping to improve those areas also?
Well, that's a great question, and I appreciate the insight. And because a lot of people don't realize that the DA's office, you know, has both that dual jurisdiction over criminal aspects in the county along with civil aspects. And so as we look at, Freedom of Information Act or making a public, you know, trying to get open records, that first request goes through, you know, either the local municipality or it could go through your local county. And if you don't get the answer that you want there, a lot of times that referral gets sent down to Austin to the Attorney General's office. And, you know, when we talk about Texas and we talk about Tarrant County, you don't have to look far to find a broken system. And I say that because, you know, our Attorney General, he hasn't done too well of a job himself with complying with some of those records, and there's a number of pending lawsuits at play right now down there. But I'll say it is important to make sure that you elect the DA such as myself, somebody, you know, again, with integrity, somebody with experience in different areas, and I say different areas, but with the foresight to realize that, like, these small things is what breaks down community trust. And if we're going to actually rebuild trust or build a DA's office or have a DA's office that's going to be for the community, for the people, it's very important that we make sure that we are able to be transparent and to the degree that we're able to comply with the law. Because, again, the law allows certain things to be disclosed at certain times and certain things can't be disclosed. And certain things your DA can say and certain things your DA can't say. But it's very important to have a DA that we can trust and one that understands the issues and understands the issues that really, you know, are important to home. Because, you know, as people say all the time, you know, all politics are local. You know, you don't have to look any further than your local school boards to see kind of what some of the issues are and kind of where the current DA has stood on some of these issues. You can look at, again, the water board, or you can look at other, you know, municipalities that are under investigation or have been under investigation. And you can see either how your DA either chose to take up a case or chose to turn a blind eye. And again, I think there's opportunities for improvement. And I run on a platform that has more accountability in it.
Well, let me ask a question.
I have
you want to go? Go ahead, Adrian.
Well, it was actually Thomas. I had a follow-up. Go ahead,
okay,
Adrian.
Thomas, something. Go ahead.
Oh. Well, the follow-up is that all of the other metro counties in Texas, their DA's offices are proactive in that they provide trainings or videos to help every other level of government to – they just basically ignore the attorney general and coach for more open meeting, apply more liberally, and open records more liberally. Here in Tarrant County – it's a struggle and a game between some of the larger governments to get them to comply, and the AG does the bare minimum. And what's been tough is watching the water district or the school district or sometimes the city of Fort Worth pay millions of dollars to outside attorneys, and their input is to do the bare minimum to comply with the law, whereas the metro counties like Harris, Bear, Travis, et cetera, probably annual trainings that encourage being more open and more transparent. So I'm hoping that Mr. Roberts or any candidate is interested in doing that too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just, you know, briefly say, I mean, I'm interested in more accountability and transparency is part of that trust factor with the community. Obviously it's a very sharply written law, but the DA does have some discretion. And so as much as we can be transparent with the community or with, you know, in compliance with the law, I would support, you know, support that.
Mr. Roberts, I have one question. It has been said since I've lived in Tarrant County that the DA's office is not one that's going to prosecute Fort Worth police officers. If elected DA, can we count on you to prosecute an officer if he needs to be prosecuted?
So I would say yes. I mean, the easy answer is yes. If you know, there's no above the law or below the law. Mm-hmm. Under my administration, you can expect that if you break the law, you'll be held accountable, whether you're a police officer or whether you're just a regular old citizen. And I say a regular old citizen, just like me. I'm a regular old citizen. You know, we can't have two systems of justice. That's not the way this thing was designed. But all too often, we've seen it play out that way. We've seen officers in this county that I live in, that you all live in, that you care about. We've seen officers conduct criminal, and we've seen it go turn a blind eye, and people look the other way. And I've told police officers this, and I think police officers are supportive of this because it doesn't help anybody to keep a officer on the force who's not doing a good job or who's, you know, breaking the law, because it makes the good cops look bad. And so I think there's an opportunity there for us to be very blunt and very transparent with the community and with the police and just let them know, hey, we want you working the streets. We support you working the streets, but we also support you following the law. And so just like you guys are able to arrest somebody and put them in jail on a daily basis, if you guys don't follow the law, you know, we're willing to do the same thing. We're willing to prosecute you. And, you know, again, everybody's entitled to due process. I'm a criminal defense lawyer, so I've worked on both sides of the aisle. I'm the only person in this race, Democrat or Republican, who's worked on both sides of the aisle as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney. So I understand the impact that the criminal justice system has, whether you're prosecuting a case or whether you're defending a case. And that unique perspective, and having worked in a larger county like Dallas County and in Tarrant County, you know, I kind of have a broad vision of where we are and where we could be. And I think we definitely have opportunities to improve our accountability measures, including with police officers.
Well, what are your thoughts or what are your feelings on this race? Do you feel pretty good about the race?
Well, I'm, you know, I'd be lying to you, Carrie, if I told you that I wasn't tired. I've been working all day out at the polls and on the phones, and you know, we've been knocking on doors, and we're going to continue to do this because we take nothing for granted, and every vote counts. And you know, I'm not doing myself a service. I'm actually doing a disservice if I don't ask, you know, everybody that's listening in to, you know, Let's Talk Fort Worth on this Friday evening. I'm asking for your vote. I'm asking for your support. You know, if I haven't met you in person, I look forward to meeting you in person. If I have met you, let's meet again, you know. And you know, I take nothing for granted. So until the last vote is counted, you know, even then we still have a race. So, but you know, I look forward. I mean, it's a really exciting time right now for our county because we're going to elect a new DA. So we have a chance to do something very different. But again, you know, getting your message out to the people, there's no easy way to talk to. There's 2.1 million people in Tarrant County. There's a lot of people. All of them aren't registered to vote, but, you know, I'm interested in talking to people who aren't registered to vote because part of my campaign, you know, we've engaged with, you know, registered people that are registered to vote, people that are not registered. We're trying to register more people to vote because, again, you know, if we really want to have a justice system that looks like the county that it's got to serve, we need more people to engage in the process. So hopefully we just get as many people as we can to the polls in the next, you know, well, we got a little over a week left. I mean, early voting is going on now, Saturday, Sunday, and then all of next week.
I think except for the 21st, which is a holiday, correct?
That is correct. So, yes, Monday, do not go to the polls on Monday. So, yes, that you can go Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then you skip a couple of days, and then March 1st is the actual election day.
Let me ask you a question. In my research, I found that you ran against Sharon Wilson before, or ran against Sharon Wilson, and you got 46.7% of the vote.
Yeah, that is correct. In 2018, we took on the task. In 2017, I was working for the DA's office, so she used to be my boss.
Wow.
I left the DA's office in 2017, went into private practice, and announced my candidacy for Tarrant County District Attorney. At that time, again, you know, it was my first time ever running. We ran a grassroots campaign, and we literally just knocked on doors and asked people for their vote. This time, we're knocking on doors and we're asking people for their vote. Now, again, we've done this once before, and we got, you know, people didn't tell us, you know, we would get this close back then. But I'll tell you what, we showed them wrong in 2018. We got closer than they ever expected. And this time, you know, I don't think we're going to get close. I think we're going to really push this over the top because, you know, every day, you know, we're releasing or we're getting news. As tiring as the campaign trail, you get energized and inspired when you talk to that vote, that first-time voter, or you talk to that person who said, you know, normally I wouldn't care or I wouldn't do this, but, you know, this is why I vote. Or we get that, you know, that latest endorsement, or we get, you know, just some good news, you know. Hey, we knocked on X number of doors yesterday, and we caught a lot of people home, you know, and so they're excited, you know. So I look forward to it, and I think this time is this is the year. This is the year where, you know, the people of Tarrant County take back the DA's office.
Wow. Well, good luck with your race, Albert, and thank you so much for stopping by Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hey, Carrie, I have one quick question. I didn't get a chance to ask the our soon-to-be DA a question.
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Roberts, first of all, I say congratulations on your run. I know you did it once before. I supported you in the beginning, I mean the last time you ran, and I think that you putting yourself up for service again this time is very commendable. My thing, my first question is, I'm going to ask like maybe two questions, and then we just, I'll let you, you know, I'll wait for your response. First question is, from your observation as, you know, being in the position you've been in, on the outside looking in, what do you think what has been the most difficult aspect for the DA's position from your observation, you know, being in the position you've been in, and how would you go about, you know, dealing with whatever that is that you feel how would you go about dealing with whatever you feel that is? And secondly, I think, you know, the biggest thing is going to be this issue, like Kerry brought up with the policing, you know, prosecuting policing. It's going to be a push against you, because I think if you are elected as the one to represent the Democratic side, you get ready for the dirty politics that's going to come with it. They're going to paint a picture of you, and I'm pretty sure you already know and aware of that. So as far as the prosecution of police, is it true that the DA's office has the discretion as far as who they would put on the case to prosecute those officers potentially? And have you ever heard that some DA's offices choose to put their least qualified attorneys on those cases, knowing that, you know, if you put the least qualified ones, they won't do the due diligence to bring about a conviction, you know? And I guess those are my only two questions. I think I had another one, but I went blank, so I just let you wait for your response on those. Thank you.
Sure. Well, and I appreciate your support previously when I run. I start there. And I'll say, you know, I don't know that district attorneys put the least qualified people on them. In Tarrant County, the problem we've had is too often we just haven't had cases brought to the, you know, these cases don't get indicted. These cases don't get, the officers never get arrested. If Joe Blow commits a crime, you know, if he has, in Tarrant County, if he's got marijuana, less than 2 ounces, he gets arrested, he goes to jail, he has to post bond, he has to go to court. We got officers who committed crimes, and these crimes are on video, and they've never been arrested, and they never go to jail, and they never get indicted, and they move on with life. They keep their job, they move to another agency. And so that's unfortunate. And I think you're right in some ways. You know, once we get out of this primary, you know, it's going to be a stark contrast. I mean, I don't know if y'all, how close y'all have been paying attention, but, you know, one of the candidates on the other side just received an endorsement from Donald Trump. And so these things are happening right before our eyes. A candidate for DA in Tarrant County just got an endorsement from Donald Trump. So I think we have an opportunity, and, you know, is it going to be easy? It won't. But, you know, I'll tell you what we have that they don't have is we got people power. And so, you know, the people on this call, and hopefully some of the people listening in will say, hey, that's the campaign I want to be a part of. I want to fight back. I want to help Albert. And I tell people all the time, Albert's not going to change the world by himself. I don't have all the solutions. I really don't. I got some ideas, and I look to people for ideas because I'm like, tell me what works. Tell me what y'all are doing. You know, we don't have to reinvent some of the wheels because we can see some other municipalities that do things, and they do it right. And so I think there's an opportunity there for us to do a better job. That's what I hope to do is I hope we can do a better job. And I think the other question you asked me was concerning the other. What was the first part of that question you asked me? I lost my. I'm trying to remember where you were at.
Yeah, I was speaking from your. Yes, I remember. Can you hear me?
Your position.
I just
remembered. You talked about what was something in the office that could be improved. Am I correct?
Right. Yeah, from your observation that you've observed as been in the position you've been in, and I got my last question for you. You can throw that in there, your answer in there as well for this. Does the DA have more power than a judge? And I only ask that because I noticed how Sharon Wilson stepped down as a judge after all those years to run as a district attorney. So does the district attorney have more power than a judge? That was my last question. Okay.
place where I think improvement can be done at the office is community trust. Is the DA's office has a morale that's at an all-time low, and community trust is at an all-time low. We use cases, accountability cases, like we talked about just a while ago. Look at the case of a Tatiana Jefferson. That happened in 2019. We sit here on this, this radio show. It's February 2022, and we still don't have any due process. We still ain't seen what's going to happen. Our community's still hurting. We just haven't finished the healing process. And so I believe we need a district attorney who is more accountable and responsive to the citizens, willing to come out into the community and talk to the citizens, have these tough conversations. The community's not going to always tell you you're doing a good job. That's just part of it. What you have to understand that, yeah, you're not always doing a good job. We can always do better, but you got to listen to the community. And so I think we find ourselves sometimes removed from the community, kind of in our own bubble. So we think we're doing a great job because the people around you that you're paying that work for you tell you you're doing a good job. And so that's not how I think we need to handle that. So I think we have an opportunity to do a better job. As far as who's got more power, the DA or a judge, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I mean, and I say I don't know. I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I'll say the DA has the power, it's called prosecutorial discretion. They got the power to give the judge a case. So the judge never gets the case if the DA doesn't file the case, accept the case, and indict the case. Does that make sense? So if the DA never gives the judge the case, the judge will have no power over the case. Once the DA prosecutes the case or starts the prosecution on the case, that gives the judge that indictment is what gives the judge, in a felony case, that gives the judge power. And so I'll tell you, you're correct. Sharon Wilson was a judge for 23 years before she became DA. And right now, on the Republican ticket, there's two former judges. They stepped down for judge. They were elected judges. They were judges, and they stepped down in November of last year to run for DA. And so, I don't want to speak for them and why they did that, but, you know, I'm just telling you that that's something that has happened in the past, and you know it's happening again right now. Two people gave up their job as judges to run for DA. So I think I don't think one is more powerful necessarily than the other, but that's kind of the sequence of events. The judge doesn't gain jurisdiction over a case until a felony case is indicted. Once it's indicted, then the judge starts to kind of schedule things according to the court's calendar or the coordinator or things like that.
Okay, Thomas, we have one more question for you, and then we got to pull out of here. Thomas, your question for Albert?
Yes, I want to ask about Brady lists. Some counties and some district attorney's offices keep Brady lists. There's questions of integrity on local law enforcement. But, I mean, my interest is actually in having Brady lists that are more expanded to that so that we can track bad officers in order to help support the good ones. And especially when they do that kind of job hopping thing where they move to different agencies and nobody's keeping track, if sort of like a credit account, only a credit record, but with law enforcement. Can you make some comments on Brady lists and how those are useful to DAs or the community at large?
Sure. No, I think that's a great point and a great observation. So these lists do exist. These lists exist all over the place. These lists exist in Tarrant County. And so these lists are not public. These lists are not things that the public has available or could even see. And so we have to do a better job. And what they call those officers, they're referred to sometimes as gypsy cops. Cops that kind of bounce around from agency to agency. There's legislation that's pending. It's been proposed, at least up in Washington, the trying to reform there's legislation in Washington and in Austin, actually, try to reform, to basically make these lists in compliance, to say, hey, there should be one database that everybody into, and when they do something, everybody should be able to go in that database and look at it and say, hey, you know, do you want to hire that officer? That officer, wrongfully used his firearm in that other city or county. What happens is officers move from county to city, and their records don't follow them. So you know, brand new officer comes to Fort Worth. He used to work in Houston. You know, once he gets the job in Fort Worth, you know, they'll look at his record in Fort Worth and say, hey, he's clean in Fort Worth. Well, that doesn't speak to what happened in Houston or somewhere else. And again, I'm using that as an example, but I'm in favor of, again, making sure these Brady lists, because these are potential officers with misconduct on their past. And what we know is if misconduct goes unaddressed, it's likely to happen again, and it's likely to be worse. And so, you know, we have to give people a chance, but we also have to give people a chance. When I say that, we have to give officers a chance, but the people that's being prosecuted have to have a chance, and they can't continue to just carry the burden for the police officers if they've had misconduct. That needs to be disclosed to their lawyer, needs to be disclosed early, and their lawyer should be able to make a decision on how they want to proceed and handle their client's case with that information being known to them.
Wow. Well, Albert, thank you so much for stopping by tonight. If you'd like to one last time ask for the people's vote, feel free to do so.
Sure. Well, thank you. Thank you, Carrie, and thank you for the questions. And let's talk Fort Worth. We got an opportunity in this year, and we're going to elect a new DA. Sharon Wilson has said she's had enough. She's hanging it up. And where we go is up to the people. What I would tell you all is, you know, I'm as qualified as anybody that's running for this race. Not only as qualified, I've ran this race once before. I know what it's going to take. It's going to take energy. It's going to take enthusiasm. It's going to take a lot of talking, walking, knocking, asking, and some prayers from somebody. Because again, you know, we all need that at times. But I'll tell you, it won't be easy, but we can do it. And with your support, we can do it. And what I'd ask you all to do is, you know, engage with my campaign. You know, like us on, you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. And, you know, also you can go to my website, albertjohnroberts.com. That's my first name, middle name, and last name, .com. You also see me on the ballot on page, once you pull the Democratic primary ballot, on page 2, the first name you see will be Albert John Roberts. I'd ask for your support. I'd ask for your vote. And if you got any questions, y'all feel free to reach out to the campaign. And like I said, we look forward to seeing y'all on the campaign trail. You know, we're doing a number of forums that are coming up. So just, you know, for those that are listening or paying attention, there's a forum, I believe, tomorrow night, Saturday night. There's a forum on Monday at lunch. There's a forum on Monday night. You know, so there's opportunities to continue to hear our message and engage with us. And so, we look forward to seeing you on the trail.
Well, thank you. We're going to go to this caller. It may be for you, Albert. We're going to see if it is. If it isn't, we will let you go. 817-446, good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hi, Carrie. I think is that me?
Yes, that's
okay.
You.
Okay, yeah. I have a quick just a question, too. I appreciate him being on and him doing stuff. We had a little case a while back with the water department, and I kind of followed up on what happened. A few employees, they resigned that day, and we know this goes up further than the water department, and we wanted to find out if any of the main people could be in trouble for this thing. And they said the case for us is before the DA. Now, would that be like the county DA, like where you'd be at?
So I would say, any criminal investigation in the county would typically go through the DA. I mean, it could go through the
other. You're running far there, then. That would be your position. I'm thinking it's on hold. I talked to detectives a little while back, and this is going on. I knew it takes some time, and I thought to do a follow-up. I try to keep doing follow-ups because I want to follow it through and see what happens in the end here. And I called detectives. They said they turned it over to the DA. So I guess it's sitting there, and I guess for this election, I imagine the DA is probably just letting it sit on the back burner till the new DA comes in to deal with that one, I think, because it's bound to be. Some of the water department's employees were paving driveways with city money and that, and getting paid for it either, you know, illegally here. And we filmed them and caught them. And that. So, and you don't get these trucks. There was two trucks there and a rower. They watch where all that stuff goes. Someone's in charge of that higher up in the water department. And I'm just wondering if they're going to be criminalized or not. And you see how you're close to that area and you know what's going on by any chance. If you have any way to do any checking about the issue or to keep an eye on it too, to help us keep it. I'd like to follow through. Some of these things, they come up, but we never hear any more about them. You know, we get a little bit and then we don't hear any more about it. It disappears. So I'd like to, and I knew that's in your spot there. And the other thing I was going to ask you real quick, are you going to be at the, I think on Monday, the what is it, the Texas Wesley College is holding a debate between, I think, the DAs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you going to be there?
I'll be there Monday.
Okay.
That's what I was mentioning a while ago.
Well, yeah, I missed part of it. Maybe I was busy trying to get on here and listen to him, and I missed a little bit of this stuff. But okay, you did mention that.
Yeah,
great, then I'll be out there. But yeah, I enjoyed listening to your talk there, and I wish you a lot of luck there. And being involved like you are and where you're at, if you're, or I said someone goes, I don't know. But anyway, if you're involved, let Carrie know if you know anything about the water department, what's going on with that case there. Give her an update or whatever. No, I'd like to know. Or try to follow up. I got so many irons in the fire, so many things on my plate. It's hard to keep up with everything, you know. But this is closer to where you're at, and if you're there, it might come before you, you know. And as a DA, can you file charges against the city manager? I'm ready to fire him. I'm ready to fry him and fire him. Okay. No. Anyway, good luck with your campaign. Okay. Very good luck, and thank you, Carrie, for taking my call. Okay.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Albert, and good luck with your race.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good night. All right, y'all, we're down to the last race tonight. We're talking about JP, Justice of the Peace, Precinct 8. That's the precinct over on Miller Street. We got a race going on over there, y'all. You got Stephanie Wilson. She's the candidate running against the incumbent, Lisa R. Woodard. This is just a two-man race, y'all. There's no Republicans in this race. It's just a two-man race. The duties for a JP include they hear civil cases with up to $20,000 in controversy. They hear landlord and tenant disputes. They hear truancy cases. They perform wedding ceremonies, and they conduct inquests. The salary, I believe, is above $80,000 a year. What we know about Stephanie Wilson, she's a retired Delta Airlines and AX. She's an accountant and resolution specialist. She also ran, I understand, in 2014. I found this on a website called www.caselawfindlaw.com. She ran in 2014, but she was kicked off the ballot by Deborah Peoples. So hopefully, I think she's on the line. We're going to hear more about that. She stands for honesty, impartiality, and integrity. She says, I'm a Tarrant County Democratic candidate for Tarrant County Justice of the Peace. As judge, I will make a positive impact by being impartial while standing for honesty and integrity. I am a mother and an accountant, a resolution specialist. She said, truancy puts a mark on our children for life. Let's vote for second chances. Evictions can be forced without valid reason. Let's vote for a relay diversion program. She said, my courthouse will treat everyone with dignity and respect. All right, y'all, let's talk about the incumbent. Lisa R. Woodard, or Judge Lisa R. Woodard, is the incumbent over there. She's also a Democrat. She assumed office January 2011. She was the first African-American female JP in Tarrant County. These are the things I found on her website. She stated, I took an oath that I would, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States and of the state. So help me God. She said, that is an oath I took to heart. She said, customer service is very important to me. She said, if you visit my office and I did not receive excellent service by my staff, please do not hesitate to contact the court manager. And then she goes on to say, Dr. Martin Luther King wrote, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. She said, justice always be served in her courtroom. She said, I serve with honor, dignity, compassion, and respect. She said, every citizen who comes into her courtroom has a voice. And then she closed with, every morning, as I take the bench, I ask for three things, the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, and the boldness of David. All right, John. Okay. So those are the candidates that are running. Carlin Kazi, you got to tear out of here in a little bit. What are your thoughts on this race? Carlin Kazi? Is something wrong with Thomas's call? Okay, I think Thomas was, hold on. Thomas may have dropped off, and my bad. Okay, we may have lost Thomas. He was having some problems with his phone line. Okay, Adrian, what are your thoughts on this race?
Hey, Kerry, you said you had the candidate on the line holding?
Yes. Do we want to hear
okay,
from her?
Okay, and that's, yes. Let's guess, I think we give her the due diligence to speak, and then we can, yeah.
Okay. Ms. Wilson, we're going to go and we're going to come to you. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
This is Stephanie Wilson, a JP candidate, Tarrant County Democratic Party for Precinct 8. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hello?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, and she pretty much read what I was going to say, pretty much. And I will ask you for your vote. And in the JP court, that's exactly what the job is. It's going to be the marriage ceremonies. You get the money for that. However, to marry someone in the justice of the peace, and that's a takeaway when you leave the job as well. And for criminal, for the civil, it's the civil for 2,000 and less. That's the civil cases that they have. Then you have truancy, and I'm in touch with a lot of programs helping the truancy program.
Was it 2,000 or 20,000? I'm sorry, was it
20,000? It's 20,000 or less. And then you have evictions, and, of course, there are a lot of programs that we need to be able to relay. And, of course, I plan to bring those into in order to reduce evictions, you have to use the Eviction Homelessness Diversion Programs, you know, and I want to increase transparency, accountability, and accessibility.
Okay. All right. Adrian, your thoughts on this race? So we're going to leave your phone lines open, Ms. Wilson, until we finish.
Okay.
Adrian, your thoughts on the race?
Okay. Yeah. First, Ms. Wilson, first of all, kudos to you for, giving yourself up for service. I do truly think that District 8 is in need of new representation, considering the some of the things that have been on record regarding the current incumbent. I won't go into those things or speak on things that I'm not, too much privy of, but there is some things out there on her. I think what you stated regarding just helping people to maintain their homes, considering that more and more people are becoming homeless due to the, you know, the continual cost of living that's going up. And then Fort Worth seems like it doesn't have a curve to put a restriction on how these people are, you know, raising these rental rates in various places that don't need their rental rates raised. I think your willingness to want to just be in that position to offer a breath of fresh air to the hopeless, it's a good thing, you know. I know you're gonna be faced with a lot because people want to maintain a sense of the current status quo, and I just want to say, as far as this race, I think it's just time for a breath of fresh air. You know, we need to get somebody in there who doesn't have a sketchy record regarding their actions and how they use a position to, you know, I say bully, you know, we know bullying is a big thing nowadays, how they use their position to bully people or intimidate people. And for the record, I don't know how much you want to speak on it, but this is politics. Like I asked the last candidate, this is politics. You know, it's going to get dirty. You know, it's going to get dirty. And I think it already has been dirty concerning this race. Those things that have come up regarding your current race, are those things true regarding these tactics that have been used to try to, you know, steer you out the race? And again, thank you.
Yes. I wasn't moved. I was taken off the ballot without notice, without anyone telling me. You know, when I questioned it, of course, it was too late to get my name back on the ballot. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be able to trust your lawyer. And it's apparent because I never knew that I had a court date. So I never, what she found in law, I didn't know anything about because, again, I never got a court date. However, getting past that, she took me off to me without notice to me so that I wouldn't be in the race. But I did end up going in as a write-in candidate who should not have received any votes, but I received quite a few. So that tells me.
Let me be clear.
Yeah.
You're talking about the 2014 race against Ms. Wooden, mm-hmm. when you were taken off the ballot by Deborah Peoples.
I was taken off the ballot without notice. And when I found out about it, it was too late to put me back on the ballot. But then again, you have to be able to trust your lawyer because I never knew that I had a court date as well.
Well, why were you taken off the ballot?
At the time, I didn't know. I had no clue. But I had to, that's why we had to do it.
Why were you taking off?
I had to go through court and all of that. At the end of the day, by finding out, like you found out, is they said I didn't have enough signatures. But I did have enough signatures. I still have my signatures. But no one did any of that. Yes. That's why I'm saying you have to be able to trust your lawyer as well.
When you told them you had enough signatures and you knew that you had enough signatures, to enter the race, what did they say when you told them you had enough signatures? Or what did Deborah Peoples say when you told her you had enough signatures?
She said you need to.
She told you what?
To sue
her. She told you to sue her.
To sue her, yes.
Wow. Oh, wow. Ooh. Pastor, you got any thoughts on this race?
Hey, real quick, I want to ask you. Hold on, Pastor. Real quick question, Ms. Wilson. Regarding your current race, has your opponent been playing dirty? That's another thing. That's another part of my question. Has she been playing dirty? Your current opponent, and however you want to speak regarding that.
Okay. Well, all I can say is
thank you.
I can't say that my opponent is playing dirty because I haven't caught anyone doing anything. There are some things that have been done to me that are dirty, but I can't say she hired anyone to do that or she did that. I can't do any of that. I have no clue. I just know that, you know, there's only two people in the race, and I would hope that if something was happening to her sign, she wouldn't think I did it because I wouldn't stoop so low. I wouldn't do anything like that.
Well, what kind of things have been happening?
Oh, I've been having signs torn up, cut up, moved, taken away, all kinds of stuff. If I hadn't bought more than 50, trust me, I wouldn't have any.
We were told that someone told you to get out of the race.
Oh, yes. I was I need to get out of the race.
Who did?
But I want to talk about the current race. I don't know who he was. I have no clue who he was.
But
he
told you to
license.
Get out of the race?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pastor, your thoughts on this race?
I just wanted to ask a question. You know, you said that you had programs and things that you would like to introduce as far as like renters and all that. Could you be more specific and talk about maybe some of the programs and revisions and things that you could implement?
Okay, first of all, it's not my program. It's Tarrant County's program. It's a program, Eviction and Homelessness Diversion Program, that you don't hear anything about, but they do exist. I would bring those in, and that's why you have to increase transparency and bring in the wraparound services with legal aid nonprofits into the court in order to help with those to decrease evictions.
Okay.
To decrease truancy, you have to bring those programs into the court. I would make a place for them to meet, to talk about it. There are lots of different truancy programs. I would bring those in as well.
Adrian, do you have any more questions?
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I do not care. That's been my question. No, I do not. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I got something to say about this particular race, y'all. I have personally had to go before this judge, the incumbent, Judge Lisa R. Woodard, in 2013. I was basically called into her court on a frivolous lawsuit. And I really feel like the lawsuit was stemmed from harassment that I had been receiving from 4RPD. And if you don't know anything about that, go back and check my archives because there's lots of shows on that particular harassment. However, In January 2013, I was brought into her court. The person alleged that they had done $2,500 worth of work to my kitchen and bath. Well, y'all, my house is almost 100 years old. In fact, in 2026, it will be 100 years old. So if you came to see it, it's very original in its nature. And you can pretty much tell that the work that he said he did was never done. Well, that said, knowing that these were lies, I went to court that afternoon in January 2013 excited to tell my side of the story. That said, when I drove into the parking lot of that Miller Street sub-courthouse, there were two black police officers there. There was one in plain clothes and one was in uniform, but they both were driving marked cars. When I got out of my car, they then followed me into the building. And as I was getting ready to open the door, one of them actually opened the door for me, the one in plain clothes. Once we got into the building, they went into Judge Woodard's office. At this particular time, y'all, I'm totally clueless about what's going on because at that particular time in my life, I really believed in justice, and I did not understand that justice can be corrupted. That said, once I got into the courtroom and I began to see the process unfold, I was very shocked. Ms. Woodard, first glance at me was very, it was as though she thought she knew me. And I'd never seen her before. So I'm thinking, well, why is she looking at me so mean? Because I've never seen this woman before. Well, that was just the beginning. The plaintiff then was asked, why was he bringing me to court? He first had on the written complaint, you have to have a written complaint against the person you're bringing into court. The written complaint stated that I was being brought to court because he had done work on my kitchen and my bathroom. Okay. That said, once he told her that reason, he paused. Because she looked at him as though he didn't answer the question right, and she somewhat nodded, looking him directly into the eye. He pauses and then changes the reason for bringing me to court, and he said it was because of a loan. Judge Woodard then appears to non-verbally coach him and say, what is your reason for bringing her here today? Now, granted, the written reason said it was for repairs that he had allegedly done on my house. So at this particular point, I'm like looking at the judge like, okay, we're talking about a case of perjury here, not like, you know, this or that. So he then tells her it's for the loan. So at this particular juncture, I've literally been brought into court on a bait and switch. I still don't understand what's going on. So then he proceeds, she comes to me, and I said, he just perjured himself. He told you that he brought me to court for repairs that he did to my house, but then he told you it was for a loan. And Judge Woodard at this particular interjects and says, maybe he got confused. Those words that I never expected a judge to say. Because it wasn't, in my opinion, for her to interject anything at this particular point. We got a plaintiff and we got a defendant. And those should be the only two people, in my opinion, stating what happened. So then we proceed on, and the plaintiff tells her, I've had an on-again, off-again relationship with Ms. Hines since 1999. Well, in actuality, I'd only been friends with that person since 1999. I'd never had any type of relationship of a personal nature with that person. Again, Judge Woodard interjects and says, and when she comes to me and I say, I've never had a relationship with this man, on again, off again. I've never had a relationship with this person. She then interjects again and says, he didn't say what kind of relationship. Well, that's when I knew I was in trouble. That's when the light bulb went off. This isn't going to go so well for you tonight or today, Gary. So that's when I said, because I was in total disbelief. I said, Judge, you're being biased. What did I say that for? It was as though a whole bully was sitting on that bench. She began to do the hood lady or hood woman, work your neck with your hand motion, with your eyes bucked, and she begins to tell me, don't you dare disrespect me in my courtroom. Do you hear me? She said, I should send you to the Tarrant County Jail for 24 hours for contempt of court. Well, at that particular point, I'm thinking to myself, Judge Woodard, if you do that, this whole country is going to know what's going on in your courtroom. So we proceed forward, and every time I spoke, she cut me off. She was rude to me. She snapped at me. She proceeded to act just like a playground bully. It was her courtroom, and I was the person that was not wanted on the playground. Well, I'm still clueless. I'm thinking, how bad could this go? Well, later I would find out just what the answer to that question was. Not only did she rule against me for the plaintiff, who, again, had committed perjury in her courtroom, this lady then goes on and puts a mechanic's lien against my house. This mechanic's lien, and I get emotional because y'all don't know this saga cost me so much. It cost me so much because they put a lien against my house. And I did not know, unbeknownst to me, the plaintiff had already gone to the courthouse. And if you don't know the Tarrant County rules, let me help you out. Anybody can go to Tarrant County's courthouse right now and file a lien against your house with no invoices and no contracts. It's just a verbal statement that I have done work, which needs to be changed. So lo and behold, I didn't know that that had already transpired. So when she made her ruling, it solidified the mechanics lien because, again, they had put it in writing on the written form. So they're entering a bait and switch, and I'm totally oblivious as what was actually going on. So to this day, I have that lien against my house that has accrued interest, compounded interest for work that never took place. That day when I left court, I went into the office and I said, what can I do? And they said, you can appeal it. And I'm thinking to myself, appeal to who? I mean, I'm completely like lost. Like, if she's allowed to do this in a courtroom, who am I going to tell? So what did I do? I filed a judicial complaint for judicial malfeasance. It's on record. Everything I'm saying can be backed up with facts. That said, as far as I'm concerned, this particular race, if you give this race to Lisa Woodard, you're giving a race to a person who has clearly not understood what the job is all about. Everything she stated as her platform is all lies. And I'm not going to let this race happen without telling the truth. Now, people, y'all can go to the polls and do whatever you want with your vote. But I live this nightmare. I'm still living this nightmare, and everything I say can be backed up. So I understand I'm not the only victim of Lisa Woodard. There's a whole lot more. And so if anybody, any moles or trolls are listening tonight and would like Judge Woodard to call in and address what I just said, feel free to dial her up and tell her the number to call. It's 515-605-9321, and then press 1. And I mean that. So I understand I'm not the only person who has been a victim of Judge Woodard's court. So I think if the voters of Tarrant County were smart, they would send Lisa Woodard home. They would send her home because she's been in office way too long for somebody who still isn't getting the job right. She's out of the learning curve, and she's still a bully on the courtroom, in the courtroom, period. That's just how I feel about it. There's no commas. They're all periods. And I prayed about this. Y'all, I talked in turn all night last night as to whether or not I would tell what happened. And that's why I did this story last, because I was still conflicted as to whether or not I tell what happened. But you know what? The races in Fort Worth, the races in Tarrant County, we got to get them right. We got to stop electing the wrong people to these positions. We got to stop judging races on things that don't make sense just because someone's our color or because they're a Democrat or they're a Republican. If they're not right for the job, they need to go home. Now, I don't know Stephanie Wilson personally. I don't. But I had told everyone I knew to run in this race against Lisa Woodard. And I couldn't find, and Adrian Smith is on this line right now. Adrian can tell you, before I found out that Stephanie Wilson was in this race, I told Adrian to run. I said, I will do everything I can to help you win. And when I couldn't find anybody to run in this race, I had decided I was going to run myself until I found out that Stephanie Wilson was in this race. That's just how determined I was that my story needed to be told first, and second of all, that we needed a change in that office. Now, anybody who gets mad at me and decides that they're not going to listen to this show after today, good riddance. But you know what? I promise one thing on this show. I'm always going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And that said, we need a change in Tarrant County Justice of the Peace Precinct 8. Judge Woodard needs to go. And again, we still got a few minutes left on the clock. If a mole or a troll would like to call her and tell her we're talking about her on this show right now, feel free to do so. Again, the number is 515-605-9321 and press 1. Because everything I said can be backed up. Now, if Fort Worth wants to throw away a vote and spend another 4 years with the wrong JP over there on Miller Street, then Lisa Woodard is your vote. That simple. Now, if I'm wrong tonight, God forgive me. But like I said, I tossed and turned all night last night, deciding whether or not to talk about this. Y'all, I have held this story for so long. This story has affected me so. I'm going to tell you how bad it affected me. After Judge Woodard did that in January 2013, I was scared for my life because I said if the Fort Worth Police Department could convince Judge Woodard to throw a case, a frivolous lawsuit against me, well, what could they do to the criminal DA's office? I've never been in trouble in my life. I've never had a traffic ticket. But going to her court and being done so wrong over nothing and seeing justice, being robbed of justice right there in a courtroom that I thought was supposed to be fair and impartial, I was scared to death. So what did I do? I left my home. And if I tell you 2012, I went to Memphis for 8 months. Then I came back here in 2013, just to face this. already left in 2012 because I was scared of Fort Worth PD. Then I finally decided and had the courage to come back and say, I'm going to deal with whatever I got to deal with. They're gonna, what can they do? What's the worst they can do? Only for January 2013 to be drugged in Lisa Woodard's court and done that way. And so for the next 7 years, I've been living my house out of fear because that particular case shook me to my core. And so tonight, if y'all don't hear anything else I say, go research. Anybody who wants to question what I say, inbox me on Facebook. I will give you the case number, the date, the name of the plaintiff, the whole nine yards. That's just how I want you all to understand, make the right choice when you go to the ballot box for Justice of the Peace, Precinct 8. Adrian, Pastor Chris.
Yes.
Excuse me, Carrie. May I say something?
Sure.
This is Stephanie Wilson. Okay, first I'd like to tell you that I really do sympathize with what you went through, but I do want you to know that when I'm elected, my court will be a place where each case will be evaluated individually and every person gets to be heard. I wanted the opportunity to go ahead and ask everyone to please vote for me. My name is Stephanie Wilson, and I vote for integrity.
Thank you. Thank you. Y'all, I don't know Ms. Wilson. But you know what? I know one thing. You can't do worse than where we are right now. I'm sorry. You can't. The bar is set way too high. You can't. She has done stuff in that office. I understand there's complaint after complaint after complaint after complaint about Ms. Woodard and her actions in Justice of the Peace Precinct 8. Now, I know Ms. Wilson probably won't speak in because they're running against each other, but it is what it is. Say what, Adrian?
I say, hey, Carrie, and regardless if our relationship is far, you know, our relationship built up during the last, political campaigning season, you know, and I appreciate you for even using your time and your resources and, you know, everything you've been to this political process, not only last year but this year and what you've been doing over the years. You know, I just met you on last year, you know. So regardless of our relationship, you said you considered me for the position, and if mm-hmm. regardless if it was something personal, all mm-hmm. you did was you just sparked more in me because, you know, I'm here now. I already told people, even if I wasn't elected as the District 3 City Council representative, I'm here to stay. This is in me, you know. You only opened up my mind and my you know, the thought, the possibilities of me just getting into more positions, because I always thought certain positions you got to have certain credentials, you know. But then again, I thought about her position. She didn't have those credentials. She served under that judge, if I'm not mistaken, as his clerk or whatever. And she was just, you know, being there all those years, he gave it a nod. And of course, the people of the community, they like Judge Thompson or whatnot. They liked him, you know. So of course it was easy for her to transition into that position. But now she got some opposition, and I think opposition makes everything better. So all kudos to Wilson, Ms. Wilson. You know, she got my support. So if the bully is listening, hey, let's see if you can see how much long this gonna last. You got my vote, Ms. Wilson. I'm going on record saying that. So
I do appreciate your vote of confidence.
Adrian, tell them, didn't I tell you to run for that office?
You did. You told me prior to me even knowing any of these personal, you know, matters. So you did. You encouraged me to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like you said, I'm glad to know that somebody is in the position. It gave me a breath of fresh air because I'm like, man, Carrie gave, you know, encouraged me to do it. I didn't do it. And then again, I wasn't really in the position, you know, I feel like I need to be, because I know how politics get dirty, you know. There's some things I got to get, you know, in check in my personal life, but there ain't nothing that's going to keep me from
office because nothing kept me from running last, you know, last. But it just, I just know how to get dirty. They, you know, they can get, they tend to get dirty. So, but yeah, like I said, I appreciate you even giving me the consideration. But Miss Wood, like Miss Wilson, we rocking with you now. So hey,
well, thank you.
Mama said knock them out. So, hey.
I will tell you, Adrian, I don't have a background like that. I've worked for Delta for 19 years, and you know you got to have a security clearance to be at the airport and a clearance with the airlines and the FAA. You know that.
Correct.
Pastor Chris, any thoughts?
You know, I just wish Ms. Woody would have been here to respond to your what you said. You know, because we kind of talked bad about her, and she wasn't here to defend herself.
Pastor Chris, we got 8 minutes left in this show, and I know somebody on this phone line, because there's quite a few callers on the phone line.
I'm just saying she should have, you know, if you were going to get that, you know, go that way, you should have invited her to respond
to
your, you know, what you said.
I posted this in every forum. Trust me, Texas Research Mafia, Emancipate Fort Worth, Black Kings and Queens, Let's Talk Fort Worth, on my page. I post my shows everywhere. So it's not like it was hidden. This was not a hidden show.
Well, I'm saying you threw some accusations out that, you know, you like, you know, we hear your side, but what is her side of the story?
Y'all, we got 7 minutes left in the show. Y'all want to call Ms. Wood and tell her to get on the phone line, feel free to do so. And Pastor Chris, most people wouldn't, if someone was lying on you, they wouldn't tell you to call in. I'm giving her an open invitation. We got 7 minutes left in the show. Because Pastor Chris, like I said, anybody who wants the case number, the plaintiff's name.
Well, but, you know, I'm just saying that's true. But, you know, you just kind of said a lot of things about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not taking up for her or anything like that, but it would have been nice if you would have had her where she could respond to what you said.
Well, I'm sure, hold on, Pastor Chris, I'm going to say this. I'm sure this is a case that was many years ago. She probably wouldn't even remember, you know, or she probably would have chosen to remember or not remember. This is a political season. This is personal to her. It is what it is. Hey, she in a position. She gonna have to just take a lump. It ain't this politics. I'm sorry. This politics.
Let's say this. If Miss Woody wants to come on this show at any time and say something, rebut anything that I said, please know that I will open the doors and you can go and get the file and do whatever you have to do to refresh your memory if you happen not to know what you did. Yeah. But I think it's the kind of case, Adrian, that you would remember if you did somebody the way she did me. I mean, either the plaintiff knew her or Fort Worth PD officers that I believe were instrumental in helping her make her decision to do what she did. I think she'll remember. And so the thing
is...
Well,
let me ask you, how did Ms. Wilson get on the show tonight?
How did who?
Ms. Wilson.
You know what? Ms. Wilson, Albert Roberts, Marvin Sutton, all of those people saw the post. I invited them. You know, it
Oh, you invited
them.
Mm-hmm. You invited mm-hmm. them, but you didn't invite Miss mm-hmm. Wilson. I mean, Miss Woodard.
We still got 5 minutes. If somebody on this phone
well,
line would
you,
like to call.
No, but you. Well, I'm just saying, you said you invited these other guests, but
Pastor
you
Chris,
didn't invite Miss Woodard.
Pastor Chris,
let me tell you what I asked. I asked her for the phone number to be able to talk, because even when somebody's trying, like if I want to comment, like those other people were commenting, I hadn't been able to say anything. So I sent her a text message and asked her for the number and how do I press something so I can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but you were invited to talk.
After I reached out to her.
I'm sorry, you kind of cut off.
I said I reached out to see, because she had Marvin on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
So you reached out, but you were invited. She just, wait a minute. One of you said... You said Carrie said she invited you three.
I
right?
I okay. When I put it out there, I invite people. Now, she never responded to my invite, but she did come back later and say that she wanted the phone number to the show, and I gave it to her. Pastor Chris, listen, to be honest with you, anybody.
Wait, before you say it, didn't you say that you invited the guest for the night?
Well, what you want, Pastor Chris? She asked the question.
Okay.
She asked the question.
I did.
What's the question?
Pastor Chris, let me say this. Obviously, you did not understand what I said. Anybody who calls me to leave my own house out of fear, what the hell do I look like calling them and saying, hey, would you like to come on my show? No.
But if you want
a question that I did wrong, I just made the invitation. She had a carte blanche invitation to come back whenever she wants to and address anything that I said. Like I said, the case number
okay,
is open.
Okay.
The plaintiff's name is open.
What I'm saying.
The date of the case is open.
Okay.
I'm not lying about anything because you know what? I'm not going to use my platform.
I didn't say you were. All I'm saying is that.
Let me be clear.
Let me ask you. Wait a minute. You said you invited Albert, right?
Yep.
I did that.
Okay. So, you know, I'm saying, with her, you have, it's a personal thing. And I'm just saying, if you're going to say all that negative stuff about her, she should have been given an opportunity. Now, if you invited her and she didn't show, that's different. But to say a lot of negative stuff about a candidate and then
She didn't say nothing negative, sir. She stated her what she went through. There was nothing negative because she's been using her platform to ask us what we thought about these particular candidates, this and that. When I first spoke, I spoke of some things regarding stuff that I've heard prior to this Carrie situation. It's some stuff that's been out on her already. So regardless, this is a political season. She had an opportunity to come on if you feel she needs to come on or she was done injustice. That's why I stated, that's why I stated what I stated regarding she might come on, she might choose to remember or not remember this situation. She might have some people have selective memory. But for you
right.
to just to feel like she just did this woman a disservice not allowing her on, I'm sure this woman is on social media and she knows what's going on. So
why were the other people invited?
Pastor Chris, I think
I'm not defending her. I'm not saying you're not telling the truth, but I'm saying to me what was said about her was kind of negative, and she didn't have a chance to respond.
Well, let me say it like this.
But wait a minute. But she didn't have a chance to respond. That's all I'm saying. If you send her an invitation and she didn't take it up, that's different.
It's called life. It's called life. We don't always get everything perfect. We don't always get things like we should. But
right.
It's called life. That's just.
All I'm saying is, Pastor Chris,
we'll do a part two and we'll invite Ms. Woodard. How about that? Would that make you happy?
No, I'm just saying, that would make me happy, but. You know, it's like if you had a personal thing with this lady because of the way you were treated. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to talk negative about her, then I think you should give her the chance to respond to what you said. Because if what you're saying is true, then, I mean, I feel that what can she say? You know,
exactly.
it even bring it out more. Like this person, she can't get my vote because she can't even deal with Carrie's case.
Pastor,
you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying you're not being truthful. What I'm saying is I think it came across to me as being personal and negative. And if you're gonna do that, then I think the person should have the right to respond to what you said. That's all.
Pastor, I think you're implying like something was slanderous. Slander is when I say something about you that's not true. But I live this nightmare. This nightmare affected my life. Let me finish, Pastor. Hold up. I listen to you. This nightmare cost me financially. This nightmare, I'm still living because that lien is still on my house. Okay? By the way, the plaintiff that took me to court, He died less than a year before the court date anniversary. God don't like ugly. But that said, when you get through everything I said about Ms. Woodard was the truth, is the truth, and I'll stand on that truth. And at any point that she would like to come on this show, we can personally talk about it, and we'll do a part two. But I won't take back anything I say yet tonight because it's all truth. Like I told you, there's a case number attached to this. There's a plaintiff. There's my name on the case. It was January 2013 when it took place. All of that. That is what that is. And so anybody who has a question about it can feel free to contact me in my inbox on Facebook, and I'll be glad to share the information with them. But that said, y'all, we got to get out of here. We've gone past our cutoff point. Early voting, y'all, started February 14th, and it goes through the 25th. As Albert said, the 21st of February will be a holiday show. There will not be any voting that day. Election day is March 1st. Get out and vote and make your vote count. Until next week, y'all, we'll see you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you for having me.
No problem.